Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates who are running in contested primaries for statewide office and congressional seats to join us for interviews on Central Time and The Morning Show. You can find all of these interviews at wisconsinvote.org. Today, we continue our interviews with candidates for governor. There are contested primaries for both Republicans and Democrats. Today, we talked to businessman Robert Meyer, who's running in the Republican primary against incumbent Scott Walker. Robert Meyer, thanks for coming up to the studio.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're getting the elevator pitch from all the candidates. You have the length of an elevator ride to tell people why you're running. What do you tell them?
I decided to run last fall out of a sense of civic responsibility. I didn't think our state could return to a state of political health and move on from this terrible bipartisan era we've been in without hundreds of thousands of like-minded, fiscally conservative, moderate Republicans represented in our representative participative government.
And how do you see your experience in business as a good background for someone running for governor?
I think it's especially important at this juncture that the next governor is someone who understands the economy and the ways that the economy is poised to grow from the perspective of someone like myself who's worked in industry for 30-some years, and I've worked in different industries, and I've been a serial entrepreneur. I've personally commercialized three intellectual properties that have been created with big federal research grants at major universities. So I know a lot about tech transfer. I've worked on a farm. I grew up in in eastern Iowa. I've worked in a factory. So we clearly need, that would be a big change from what we have now.
Now, you're running against an incumbent, Governor Scott Walker. He's got a lot of support from the party, has a national profile, has raised a lot of money getting ready for the race. It's a tall order.
It is. But I think it would have been impossible 4 years ago. But I think at this point, we've had 7.5 years of his policies, and we've seen the consequences of this extreme, what some people have described as an extreme radical libertarian, doctrine-based policies, which is basically boils down to cutting taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes. We've had really substantial tax cuts for 7 years or more. And now we can see we're $1 billion behind in our investments in roads and infrastructure and education, and these are foundational assets to produce wealth over time. So I think that the economy is really tenuous. We could be heading into a recession. There's no plan to mediate rural poverty. The governor's almost not talking about the next 4 years at all.
You've described yourself as a fiscal conservative and Governor Walker as maybe an extreme libertarian. On a policy standpoint, what would you be doing that's different than what he has done?
I think this fixation on cutting taxes, regardless of what the consequences are, is something we need to just stop doing. Policy-wise, we've seen that the disfunding of public education has had deleterious consequences on the K-12 system outcomes and higher education. So I believe we need to fund public education as sufficiently as we can. And I'm really curious to see what the Blue Ribbon Commission's findings are going to be, which they're holding up now. They're not going to announce those until after the primary, which I was disappointed to hear. And then my focus really is on business development. How do we grow the economy in the ways that it's poised to grow over the next 4 years so that we can get back into a position to fund things? And then how do we return our state to fiscally responsible business practices? Including setting long-term fiscal goals that are strategically sound.
Talking to Robert Meyer about his campaign for governor of Wisconsin. He's running in the Republican primary. Robert, Governor Walker and his supporters might say, okay, those tax cuts are paying off. We have very low unemployment here in Wisconsin. A lot of businesses coming here to do business. So why change that?
Well, we're really out of whack, and these tax cuts have put us really out of whack in terms of wages. And this might sound like something Democrats would say, except corporations in the United States are way ahead of, way out of balance with record profits, and wages haven't caught up. Our minimum wage hasn't been raised since 2009. The problem is we have so many hundreds of thousands of people in the state who don't have the income they need in order to invest, save, and have discretionary income. And so that puts us out of balance. So that has a real undermining effect on the health of the economy, which is a summative measure. And this is especially the case throughout rural Wisconsin. And it's also, there's so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people who aren't on the unemployment roll, and especially so in our urban centers. So there's no plan to mediate that.
As you said, some of the things you say sound like what Democrats would say, and that's some of what they've been telling us here on the show so far. How do you distinguish yourself then from that field of eight Democratic candidates hoping to challenge Governor Walker?
Well, they're pretty much tax and spend Democrats, and so you're hearing about what they want to spend the money on, and Republicans historically focused on how do we make the money. And so I'm the only candidate talking about how do we grow the economy over the next 4 years, and then specifically there are three ways the economy's poised to grow. And then that's going to build revenue through and through and through the economy. That raises the tide. So we all want to grow the tax revenues. They generally tend to talk about raising the tax rates and increasing fees.
Mm-hmm. So what proposals do you think would really help boost the economy while boosting wages and also boost the state's revenue all at the same time?
We're in a unique position. It's a once-in-a-lifetime position to become the leading tech state in the Midwest, mountain range to mountain range, top to bottom. And the big venture capital companies on the coast, especially from San Francisco, they've been here doing junket trips in the Midwest. They're asking, which Midwestern state's going to be that state? We have every strategic advantage to do it. This is a destination state. We have the beauty of Wisconsin. We've got the interstate highway system, wonderful airports, and the university system. And then in the I-94 corridor, where there's a concentration of people with college degrees and the service industry and so. So we have a clear competitive advantage over all the other states. And the Wisconsin Tech Council's really trying to drive this, but they're not getting the support from state government like we could. We also really, in my opinion, need to become the leading hemp producer in the United States again, because that will really give our agricultural industry a shot in the arm and spawn all kinds of derivative cottage industries, because hemp can be made into so many things. And then back to that I-94 corridor, like Tom Hefty, a retired Milwaukee business person, advocated 30 years ago. We need these four counties to really work together. That's another big thing no one's talking about. We've got to work together. That'll build investor confidence. So those are all practicable things that we can be providing through leadership from the state.
We've got this Foxconn plant. Ground has been broken this summer. Is that going to bring in the sort of tech corridor, bring in the tech jobs that you're talking about trying to promote?
Yes, but the Foxconn deal is unique because we so terribly overpaid for the jobs. The deal wasn't negotiated from a position of strength. We had the best location in the United States. And so I think talking with the 5,000 people I must have talked to getting my nomination signatures, the ones I got, people generally all agreed we've just overpaid terribly. And now we're seeing the cautionary tale consequence with the Kimberly-Clark negotiation. So all these companies now that are the companies that have provided the jobs and been these bedrock companies that get into trouble or they're in declining industries, now they have this absurd price per job concession to negotiate with. So are these jobs going to be terrific to have from Foxconn? Yeah, if it all materializes, but we didn't really need the Foxconn agreement, and it was a disaster. And the environmental concessions should have never been on the table. So really terrible precedents set with that.
You mentioned an educated workforce being part of the plan here. Governor Walker has talked about education. Some of his Democratic opponents have criticized his education policies. What would you be looking at?
Well, I'm an education publisher, and so I know a lot more about education than he would. That's not meant to be a criticism. So when he announced that, that gave me an opportunity as a challenger to challenge him to let me debate him in education, and he didn't respond, and I didn't expect him to. But our education outcomes, when I got to Wisconsin, we were third in the United States on our National Assessment Education Progress test scores. That's the nation's report card national test. Today we're 34th. And you can't relate that to the disfunding, because it's been going, that's a 20-year trend where we've been flat in our outcomes, and then the disfunding's happened in the last 7 years. And Wisconsin is one of the last remaining whole language reading philosophy states. And this, coupled with poverty and the correlates to poverty, is really one of the biggest reasons why we have the worst achievement gaps in the United States. So we just don't have leadership from Dr. Evers, frankly, in addressing the biggest challenge in education, which is literacy, and these just terrible outcomes in our cities, but also other parts of the state. At the same time, we're not getting the leadership from the state. How do we address rural poverty and urban poverty, which are these big structural economic challenges?
We're talking with businessman Robert Meyer right now. He's a Republican candidate for governor, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What question do you have for the candidate? Do you want to know where he stands on a particular issue? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. Robert Meyer is with us. We're talking about his campaign in the Republican primary for governor of Wisconsin. He's challenging incumbent governor Scott Walker in that primary. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for the candidate, or do you want him to weigh in on an issue? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Chelsea is with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Chelsea, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I was just wondering about what he would do, or like what programs he would establish for the opioid abuse in Wisconsin.
Chelsea, thanks. So the opioid epidemic in Wisconsin.
Well, thank you. When I was a young adult, I worked in an alcoholic treatment center, and I know I'm very aware that most of the incarcerated adults have a history of substance abuse. And I like Minnesota's model, the community health agency, substance abuse prevention, mental health, which has produced it. You know, that just isn't just a good social program to fund. That's been a fantastic investment, because in Minnesota, what they've seen is that's contributed a lot to the reduction in incarceration and in, you know, the other negative consequences that happen over time.
Chelsea, thanks for that call. We'll go to Karen on the line in Oconomowoc. Karen, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what did you want to ask the candidate?
What I'd like to ask is for the candidate's perspective on health care. How will we be able to fund and support people who are uninsured or underinsured, people who rely on Medicaid? And also, does he have any ideas about how Wisconsin can address the significant disparity in available mental health services, again, particularly for folks who are uninsured or underinsured?
Karen, thanks for that call. A lot there. Robert Meyer, let's start with healthcare access and the uninsured and underinsured.
Well, again, going back to that Minnesota community-based model, I think that's a demonstrated model that really works. And then to the first part of your question, 11 Republican governors accepted the full Medicaid expansion, which for us would have been $190 million on top per year on top of the partial that we did. So that would have added up to more than $1 billion by now. So that meant that thousands of people just above the poverty line, adults and children, didn't get to be insured. So I think that's something that I certainly would have done different, and that would be a first step.
Tying together what Karen and a previous caller had mentioned, a mental health care, addiction treatment, and you were talking about the challenges in rural Wisconsin, they all tie together. There's not a lot of access in big parts of the state to addiction care and mental health care. Is that something you would have your eye on?
Absolutely. And my dad was a small town doctor in eastern Iowa, and he was the only doctor within 35 miles. And so now that's even become a bigger problem, challenge for people who have to drive long distances. And there's a terrible shortage of home health care professionals. So this is a big, urgent issue that I'm very concerned about.
Karen, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're taking your calls for candidate Robert Meyer. He's running in the Republican primary for governor of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, or email ideas@WPR.org. Melissa is on the line now in Merrill. Melissa, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to ask about, Melissa?
I wanted to ask the candidate how he feels about the voucher program. In the Merrill area, we've lost a lot of our public schools, and that caused our class sizes to obviously get quite large, and I was worried about my children falling through the cracks. So we found some good private schools in the area. But what I think is interesting is, even though there is a voucher program, we found that it's a very difficult process for the schools to do, and our private school is not one that gets vouchers. So even though we're paying for private schooling, we aren't able to get the vouchers through the school.
Melissa, thanks for the call. I'll bring Robert Meyer on this. So the state's voucher program for schools. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a staunch supporter of public education, and that we really, you know, in 2010, we were a top 10 state, the state contribution, you know, public school funded state. Now we're median because of the disfundings. And so there's really been very negative consequences, such as the increased class sizes. I'm really against vouchers. I think that they should be scaled back down to the level in Milwaukee and Racine where they were shown to relate to positive student outcomes where they work, because they're fair. If your child goes to a school that just has terrible outcomes. So they were shown there at that level to work. Now we're in a stage of very much over-vouchering. So I think we need to scale them back down and then really support public schools to work.
Thanks for that call, Melissa. We'll go next to Carol on the line in Wausau. Carol, hi.
Hi. I was wondering what the candidate's point of view is on the proliferation of weapons, the AR-15s, and if he's going to take any contributions from the NRA.
I like what Warren Berger said a lifetime ago. He believed that America's well past the era where we have to arm ourselves to protect ourselves from the government, and that military weapons aren't recreational. And I think that, I support people to hunt and have, you know, weapons, own them for recreational purposes, but deranged people and criminals have ruined it. I think that everyone's just going to have to make a compromise and live with reasonable background checks and waiting periods. And I don't believe that citizens should be allowed to have military ammunition.
Thanks for the call. We'll go now to Darren with us in Green Bay. Darren, hello.
Yeah, hi. With Wisconsin roads being some of the worst roads in the country, and just kind of general infrastructure degrading throughout the country, I was curious that, if elected, what would you do to improve Wisconsin roadways?
Right. A lot of debate about how to pay for road maintenance and construction.
Yeah, I hate to say this as a Republican. I think we need to re-index or reestablish the indexing of the gas tax. We've got to have a dedicated revenue stream. Our debt service on bonding for road repairs doubled, which is unacceptable. And the American Society of Engineers now rank Wisconsin third from the worst in the entire United States in our road repair. So this has to be addressed. And here's a consequence of this extremist, we're going to cut taxes at all costs policy. The roads are a public safety issue, but we're a tourism state. People can't come here and break their car.
Thanks for that call, Darren. So some of the things you said, dialing back vouchers, reindexing the gas tax, the Foxconn deal, you're criticizing a lot of the things that Republicans in the state have been behind. In a Republican primary, what do you tell Republican voters in Wisconsin that says, hey, yeah, I'm a Republican, vote for me?
We have an extreme faction of the Republican Party that's been kind of forcing the rest of the Republicans to function as a Borg. And I just don't think most Republicans, and especially now that we've seen the consequences, really feel that confident in the governor's policies and the things that could happen over the next 4 years. Given this Foxconn agreement, we're going to be paying a subsidy. All of us are on the hook for the rest of my life, certainly, to pay a subsidy. So we've got to get back to good, sound, fiscal, responsible government.
One possible outcome of the election, there's a lot of ways this could all shake out, but there could be a Republican governor and a Democratic-controlled chamber or both chambers of the legislature. If you were that Republican governor with divided government, how do you see yourself working with the other party?
Almost everybody wants government to come back into the middle. You know, we're way out at the extreme with the governor's policies. And Wisconsin's such a wonderful state. I don't think that would be a negative at all. I think most people have share views, especially when it comes to having sound fiscal, responsible government, having good schools, protecting our environment. There's not that really much. There aren't that many things that we really disagree, other than the big wedge issues, social wedge issues. This is a wonderful state. We should be having a great time and running it, making Wisconsin the best place it can possibly be for everyone.
As we start to wrap up, what would be your day one on the job priority?
to get to know the people in the legislature and the heads of the agencies, really get to know people. So, because working with people, working across the aisle, you really have to get to know people. Find the common ground with the people who you disagree with fundamentally and idealistically. We need everybody that I talk to, they want Wisconsin to work together again and stop, you know, move on from this hyper-partisan politic.
And one quick message to people. We have about 20 seconds to leave them with.
We have a wonderful, wonderful state. Wisconsin has a great history. It's an important history. And Wisconsin's made history when people were all working together. You know, we have this progressive history. That doesn't belong to the Democrats, and it doesn't belong to the Republicans. It belongs to all of us.
Robert Meyer, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you again.
Been talking to Robert Meyer. He's running for governor in the Republican primary. Firefighter and president of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin Union, Malin Mitchell, running as a Democrat in that primary, joins us at this time tomorrow. Profiles of all of the Democratic and Republican candidates for governor can be found at WPR.org/governor. Between now and the August 14th primary, we've invited candidates in contested primaries to join us for interviews on Central Time and the Morning Show. You can find all of these as they happen at WisconsinVote.org. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll check out some of the top stories in state news in our Wisconsin News Roundup. The Milwaukee Brewers are in a close race for first place. They did some wheeling and dealing for the home stretch. We'll find out how they changed the lineup to make a run for the playoffs. And on this week's edition of Food Friday, we'll add some spice to our summertime cooking with the author of the Spice-tastic cookbook, Flavor Walla. That and some of the top news stories of the day. It's all coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.